Hey, it's Dean Blundell. I'm here with my friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter from Thornhill Hyundai. Good morning, Greg, and how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you, Dean. It's been a while.
It's been so long. You've moved. I've moved. You've moved.
That's what we do.
We're movers.
And shakers.
What do you got going on at Thornhill Hyundai?
We are changing the world.
One car at a time.
One customer at a time.
Now, here's the thing, though. You have no salespeople, which traditionally is bad for the car industry, is that not?
Everybody hates car salespeople, so why fill the showroom with them?
No salespeople. And you meet my friend Greg Carrasco at
Thornhill Hyundai.
To Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Put my mic on!
702, hi there. This is interesting. Just got a tweet from a guy named DJ Manny Castro.
NBA insider?
No, he just read an article in the newspaper. Apparently, the night before last, I have no idea how true this is because it comes from someone who makes stuff up. I'm not even going to get into the person's name. But likes to write about fake hot dogs. Apparently, the Corey Joseph and Damari Carroll were spotted at a Cleveland casino with a late night, early morning, I guess, prior to yesterday's game, that they got embarrassed by 116-78 Cleveland Cavaliers. They were at the Jack Casino. Someone asked Dwayne Casey about it, and he said, hey, man, I had no idea. Breaking curfew isn't why we lost. So I guess Carol and Joe, this is just a, listen, I have no idea if this story, but it's an interesting kind of little wrinkle, is it not? If Corey Joseph and Damari Carroll were at a casino late night prior to the game yesterday?
First of all, to me, these are sleazy stories to write, because if these guys are doing whatever they want at their own time, that's fine. Because if they were out late, whatever. Did it really affect the outcome of the game? We don't even know. We've heard legendary stories of great athletes partying the night before and then being incredible on the field, the court, or on the ice.
David Wells' perfect game comes to mind.
He was in the bag.
He was half wasted. In the bag. Still.
Yeah. So this nonsense of, oh, because these guys were tickling the felt at the blackjack table last night or early in the morning, that's the reason why the Raptors lost? Come on. And who knows what time they got home or what they were doing or how much sleep. Even if they got home at 5 or 6 in the morning, maybe they still did get their 8 hours of sleep and they were good to go for the game. I don't like stories like this because we just don't know all the details. And how much does it really affect their play? Does it?
Well, and they traditionally, sometimes these stories, and in this case, I truly would believe that a story like this would come from a guy that makes up stories about Phil Kessel walking 2 miles for a hot dog. So, listen, and I don't know if the person was there. I don't know if the person that wrote the story has any information. Obviously, these guys are. But to say that this is why they lost the game, because a couple of guys went out and played some cards, if they did, isn't accurate. And then there's an assumption made in this story as well that Corey Joseph only played 10 minutes, and that's because he broke curfew and was out late. Well, I would suggest to this person that Corey Joseph played 10 minutes because the game was over in the first quarter. So what's the point?
I don't think it's a good look at all. It's an article in the Toronto Sun this morning, if you haven't read it, that they were. Why should they be out late on the morning of a game 5 that you need to win? Go to bed. Play
well,
better.
Can I ask you a question?
And he played, Corey Joseph was awful last night.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between staying up late at a gym shooting jimmies till 1 o'clock in the morning or playing cards till 1 o'clock in the morning? 1 o'clock in the morning is 1 o'clock in the morning. And there are lots of really flattering stories about Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan shooting jump shots till 1 o'clock in the morning at the Air Canada Center while, you know, the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers were out gallivanting and watching the Western Conference Final at a bar the night before. And that Western Conference final didn't end till 1 o'clock in the morning. So if these guys are out till 1 o'clock in the morning playing cards, if they indeed were doing that, and I've got, there is nothing in this person's history that would lead me to believe that he might be telling the truth, what's the difference? And then why, if this is your home team, then go looking for reasons to inflame the situation in a game you lost by 38. They didn't lose it because Corey Joseph only played 10 minutes. They didn't lose because Damari Carroll went out and played, Texas Hold'em until 1 o'clock in the morning. They lost because Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, and the rest of the crew sucked. Everybody sucked.
Reporting a story is reporting, and I agree with that part
of it. Right, he's not a fan of the team here. If he sees that story or gets wind of that story and reports that, he's doing his job.
But do you really think this, to me, this isn't a story? We don't know, and as Dean said, what if they're in their room drinking and watching a movie till 6, 7 in the morning? We don't know that either. Oh, no. But you're in your hotel room. That's okay.
So why didn't the person that wrote this story then write about, because I happen to know for a fact some of the Cleveland Cavaliers that were here when they were here for a couple of days went out and banged it up pretty good too.
Man, they lost too.
Yeah. So what? Why didn't we write about that then?
I'm not saying
this is here. Because what's the difference between Kyle?
Well, you have a story or you don't have a story. He has a story. He writes it. It's a big story or not story.
It's not a story.
Well, that's your opinion.
And you know, but you know what? Past history would dictate that there's no reason to even believe the guy. And why? What's the difference between that and Kyle and DeMar getting home at 2 in the morning from a shoot around?
Well, one shows you're committed to trying to get better. The other is committed to going and having a fun night.
They don't have access to anything. And you know what? These guys never go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Right. I'm not saying it's a big story or the reason they lost, but can be a story.
Well, it's going to be a story if you got nothing else to write about. Maybe you're not creative. I'm not sure. But what I do know is this, is that I completely agree with George, and it is an interesting wrinkle if it's true. You know what? The referees having something to do with that loss is a better conversation.
Have much more to do with that
than two guys.
The team didn't show up.
There's no excuse
than
for last
two
night's
guys,
game.
Than two guys playing cards till 1 in the morning.
So come if Damari's on. Carroll's minutes, if Corey Joseph's minutes were cut, why wasn't Damari Carroll's then too?
Because it substantiates this.
He was getting abused.
Bogus piece.
And can't hit an open three, and he has in all series. Is that because he's playing too much blackjack? Come on.
The piece doesn't have to be bogus. It can, you know, I know you have your opinions of the guy who wrote that, and that's fine and warranted if you so believe. I don't think it makes it a non-story, though. Yes, it's a story.
Does this story get printed if they win?
Green Eggs and Ham is a story.
Does the story get printed if they win last night?
Goodnight Moon. I don't know. Goodnight Moon is a story.
Please, we see all types of...
Go to Effing Bed. That's a great book, too.
Yeah. This is reporting.
The Dog is a story.
You see these types of stories in sports all the time. Right. It's a gossipy type of story.
I'm just saying it happens a lot more, and when teams win, we don't hear about these stories.
Anne of Green Gables is a story.
Yeah.
This is not a story.
It's a tale.
This is a guy looking to be on the righteous side of why we lost and to inflame a fan base so the people share it with each other. That's why. And you know what? Apparently that's how you sell stuff. So, whatever. But when it comes to the big scheme of things, to say that two guys put their reputations online with late night casino visit? Come on. How about some guys were out late, just like DeMar, just like Kyle, just like the Cavs when they were here, just like every human being that plays NBA basketball doesn't go to bed till 2 in the morning.
So,
does it matter what the activity is?
So what if Corey Joseph and Damari Carroll went down the QW and started tickling the felt at Fallsview Casino before games 3 and 4?
What if they went
and then they won? Is that a story?
How about
Are we
this?
Printing that story this morning?
That's
those guys were casino gambling till 8 a.m., good thing the Raptors won. Of course that story doesn't get printed.
How about
That's
this?
That's an interesting point.
How about this? Just like the guys from the AV club in university, they go to Tim Hortons till 2 in the morning and have coffee and talk about plays and talk about life, talk about struggles they go through till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they were at a casino?
Yeah.
This happens
because it's not a good look. You talked two, 3 days ago about Kyle Lowry going to decompress, and that's not a good look.
I mean, Tina wasn't a good look.
That's not a good look either. It's not a good look when you go out and play like dogs that night. When
everybody played like dogs.
Doesn't matter. So, sure.
So was everybody at the casino?
I don't know.
Was Kyle at the casino?
It's not a good look when you are at the casino the night before and you play terribly. Like, Corey Joseph might have played his worst game in the playoffs. I'm not saying that impacts or not. He played 10 minutes. He was 1-for-5. He was in minus 20. Carroll was a minus 25. Does that matter?
DeMar DeRozan was a minus 32. Sure. Where was he?
I don't know.
Okay, so you can't use the argument. That's what I'm saying. Sure, that's why this story is completely bogus. Well, you can because of, you know, sort of, even if this is true, which we don't know, you sort of, you can use it because, well, they were at a casino. Well, what if they were in there? What if they were in the hotel bar in a corner, in a booth, right, getting pasted?
My
and
point
no one
is,
talks
it's
about
not
that.
A good look. Does it matter? Is it the reason they lost? Probably not.
We got Alvin coming up at 7:32, and he played in the NBA. We could ask him, how many times did you go out at night really late, maybe way past curfew, and you still delivered the next day and won, and nobody talked about it?
Right, but they didn't. They got blown out in the worst loss in their franchise history. So it don't look too good, is my point.
I still think
big
it's
deal,
a
probably not.
You know what? You're
good.
Right.
It's
you're
not
right.
A good look.
It's not a good look, and it's also completely irrelevant. The story's irrelevant. The subjection's irrelevant. The idea that it had something to do with the loss is irrelevant. It's just grasping at straws, or should I say hot dogs. Either way, we have better things to do. Here's my man George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. And this news is brought to you by Kia of Richmond Hill. Raptors and Cavs played Game 5 of their Eastern Conference Final last night in Cleveland, with this series, of course, tied up at 2 games apiece. The Raptors were blown out in the first 2 games at Cleveland, losing Games 1 and 2 by a combined 50 points. So the Raps were looking to get off to a hot start, but would they? No, sir. The Cavs would use an 11-0 run to go up 17-7 with 6:05 to go in the first quarter. But that's when Jonas Valanciunas would make his series debut for the Raps.
For 18 days, he is a question mark, understandably so. JV trailing the play and drills it.
I feel like we're in the Miami series. He hasn't skipped the beat.
Yeah, Matt Devlin, Leo Routens on Sportsnet, really happy to see Valanciunas, who would score his first bucket to cut the Cavs' lead to 20-14 with 4:46 to go. JV would also can a jumper from the top of the key to pace the Raptors to a 9-3 run and make it 20-16 Cleveland with 4:21 to go in the first. That's as close as Toronto would really get in this one. The Raptors trailed Cleveland 37-19 after the first quarter, with Kevin Love scoring 12 points on 4 of 4 from the field for the Cavs, who shot a ridiculous 68% in the opening frame. The second quarter is when things got ugly.
DeRozan now pulls it back, and it's taken away. Another turnover, and James takes flight.
Yeah, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love had 43 points in the first half. The Raptors, just 34 points combined. Toronto was down 65-34 and a half, which was the biggest deficit in conference finals history. That was also the worst first half in Raptors franchise history, regular season or the playoffs. The previous low was 29 points, done 4 times, most recently against the Spurs on April 4th, 2003. No need to keep playing highlights because the Raptors were crushed. 116-78 to go down 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Final. The Cavaliers have won 3 home games in the series by an average of 29 points. Coach Casey, though, frustrated post-game.
They kicked our butts. That's the bottom line. You get out-rebounded, 21-19 turnovers. Physicality, we didn't meet that standard tonight. For whatever reason, we haven't met it here in this building. So that's the bottom line. That's the ball game. That's been all 3 games.
And that's what he said after someone asked him about the guys going out at night. And take nothing away from, you know, anybody that any reporter or anybody that reports. It's people's jobs to look for different stories and look for different angles. But the bottom line is that Dwayne Casey's absolutely right. They just got their butts kicked. Everybody got their butts kicked. Every single person, no matter where they were or what they were doing.
Yeah.
They got beat to loose balls. They got out rebounded. They got out hustled. They got out shot. They just got beat up, and that's the bottom line. Not where anybody was, not taking away from anybody's angle, but that's a fact.
DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry combined for just 27 points on 7 of 20 shooting. DeMar puzzled.
Man, I only took 8 shots. You know, a couple of them shots came late in the game when we was down. You know, I didn't come out aggressive like I wanted to.
Yeah, why not tomorrow? Why not grab the rock and try to at least get to the rack?
Well, I mean, how surprised should we be? I think we're surprised by the score line, and I'm surprised by the lack of effort and getting out rebound like they did. But did we really think that the Raptors were going to win three straight and the Cavs weren't going to make adjustments and be better on their home floor? I don't know. I don't feel shocked this morning. It was just kind of sad that that was the effort we saw in the biggest game in Raptors history, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Tough to watch because you think they would have got
up. The game
was
over after one, right?
Yeah, after the first quarter, you think they would have got up for that game. And Dwayne Casey said it to start the playoffs. Hey, listen, we're here. And if you can't get up, he said it for both Game 7s against Indy, said it for Game 7 against Miami. And if you can't get up for this, you're in the wrong business. It's Game 7. So disappointing, yeah, but, you know, hey, there's Game 6. It's back here. It's at home.
Raptors are 8-2 at the Air Canada Center in the playoffs, so. It's far from over, although if it goes back to Game 7 in Cleveland.
Yeah, tough.
Might be over early there, too.
Meanwhile, LeBron, Kyrie, and Love combined for 71 points, which just can't happen. Eh, Kyle Lowry?
We got to take one of them out of the game. They can't all have 23-plus points.
Yeah, LeBron James scored 23 of those points and is looking forward to Game 6.
My only mindset is to, at this point, get our guys mentally and physically prepared for a heck of a game on Friday night in Toronto.
Hey, we were talking about this yesterday, about what if Coach Casey played Valanciunas and Bismack Biyombo together? So, Coach, why did you do it?
Because we were getting our butts kicked. I think first 8 out of 11 points were off offensive rebound. And that was one reason why we went to that in the first half for a little bit.
Yeah, Coach.
And they got out rebounded by 21 yesterday. They were minus 21 on the board. So, one of those things where nothing's working, so you try something and nothing. It wouldn't have mattered what they tried.
I was also pumped up to see those two guys on the floor. I'm like, here we are. This is what I wanted to see. Valanciunas and Biyombo. Here we go. It's going to make a difference. And they're just
only
getting
down
dominated.
31.
Yeah. Here we go. But Valanciunas at least looked good. He looked quick.
He looked okay, right? 4 points out of the gate there. They were looking for him. It's just, it turned sideways.
It didn't matter.
Fast. It didn't matter. There was no positives from yesterday other than maybe Valanciunas looked okay, right? It didn't look like, you know, he's hampered by his health much. I mean, but, you know, when your leading rebounder is Jason Thompson with 5.
Yeah.
That's the type of night the big man.
What's more disconcerting, that Jason Thompson was your leading rebounder or he had 5 rebounds to be your leading rebounder?
Or he played 12 minutes.
Hey, Coach Casey, though, he's kind of turned the page already.
Yeah. It's one game. You know, as much as it hurts, it's tough. We know we did not play nowhere near with the force that we need to play here in this game. You know, it's one game, it's still 3-2. You know, yes, they spanked us here, but also we won 2 games in Toronto, and we go away with that confidence.
They were saying this yesterday during the broadcast too, George, and it was an interesting kind of take where they were talking about how, hey, listen, there's such a disparity between playing at the Air Canada Center for Cleveland and playing in Cleveland for the Raptors. It's almost like kryptonite for both teams. And right. and Matt Devlin asked the question of Leo Routen yesterday. He said, have you ever seen anything like this? And they said, no. Like, to be minus 29 per game in each of those losses in Cleveland, and then to win at home convincingly in Game 3, and some would say convincingly in the last, you know, minute and a half in Game 4.
Yeah.
It's a weird, weird anomaly. It's, like I said, it's almost like kryptonite. I've never... Like, to lose as big as the Raptors have lost on the road and be able to put it together at home, it's and they looked like it. Like, from the very moment they came out, they looked afraid almost. It's or like it was doomed from the beginning. They were down by 18 points in the first quarter.
Didn't look like the same team. You know, the Cavs adjusted. Credit Tyronn Lue. He took some heat previously. He had a good game plan. He was sending guys at Kyle DeMar, and they were easily flustered, and the game got out of hand early. I think there's a lesson here. This has been a fun run. It's been awesome. But to be a real, real title contender, you have to win big games on the road. Yeah. We haven't seen that throughout the playoffs.
Well, that's what Game 7's for, Favreau. Jeez.
Right. And that's okay. Hey, if you get there, things can change,
whatever.
Right? It is sports.
Get there.
If you get there, you got a shot. And maybe you finally realize that you have to step up your game on the road. But they're now 2-7 on the road, and it's been disgusting what they've done in Cleveland. So they've taken a step, maybe 2 steps this season with his postseason performance. But there's that second, that last step where you have to be a true title contender. You got to win big games on the road. We haven't seen that from the Raptors.
Game 6 tomorrow, do die for the Raptors, 8:30 at the ACC. We'll talk to Alvin Williams. More Raptors straight ahead at 7:32. All right, the Blue Jays bats finally came alive last night in the Bronx.
The 1-0 from Nova, hit in the air to left field. Gardner's going back. He's at the warning track. He's at the wall. It's gone! Home run for Russell Martin. Number one on the season. His first, and the Blue Jays lead it 3-1.
Yeah, that's Joe Siddle with a call on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Russell Martin hit his first two dingers of the season. And we also had some history. Michael Saunders also went deep. That's the first time in Blue Jays franchise history that two Canadians have homered in the same game for the Blue Jays, who pumped the Yankees 8-4. Russell Martin, glad he got that first dinger out of the way.
Yeah, it definitely felt like it'd been a while. So it's definitely nice to get that first one. You know, normally I'd rather get it in April than late May, but, you know, hopefully it's a sign that there's more to come.
Yeah, us too, Russ. Marco Estrada was really good. Took a two-hitter into the seventh inning for the Blue Jays, who still are in last place. Devin Travis also made his Blue Jays season debut. Troy Tulowitzki's banged up, so Travis was in the lineup batting eighth. He was 1-for-4 with a pair of strikeouts.
Yeah, and he crossed the plate once too, which is great.
And good to see him in the lineup as well. Blue Jays wrap up the series this afternoon in the Bronx. J-Hap against CC Sabathia. Check the time, 4 o'clock right here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The San Jose Sharks off to the Stanley Cup final for the first time ever. They thumped the Blues last night in San Jose, 5-2 in Game 6. Joel Ward scored twice, while Joel Thornton had an assist to punch his ticket to the Stanley Cup final for the first time.
The fans here have waited so long, 25 years, and we've waited 18 years or so. So it's a great feeling.
By we, he's talking about Patrick Marleau. The Sharks will find out who they'll play in the Stanley Cup final tonight. Game 7, Penguins and Lightning from Pittsburgh, 8 o'clock on the CBC.
Just so you know, put in perspective, between Marleau and Thornton, and this is really a great story in the NHL. If you're upset because, you know, an Original Six team isn't in it, and, oh, where are they going to have the parade in San Jose? Do they really appreciate hockey? Those two guys do, and you can feel good for them because it collectively 2,500 games without a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
2,500 games. And that's nearly perennially being in the playoffs as well. So, good for them. It's a wonderful story. I think you should be obviously looking at the positive parts of, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals, which are set to, you know, be decided tonight with Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh Game 7. This is, George said, 8 p.m. on CBC. But it's a wonderful story. If none of your Canadian teams are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that you can kind of hang your hat on and go, hey, listen, this is something to be worth watching. And something you can follow to the end to see if these guys can actually get it done. And they look terrific. Joel Ward, too. There's another very deserving guy. He just had a couple goals last night.
Had a trade last night, too, from the NHL. Defenseman Erik Branson is headed to Vancouver after the Canucks traded 19-year-old center Jared McCann and draft picks to the Florida Panthers. The Western Hockey League champion Brandon Wheat Kings were eliminated from the MasterCard Memorial Cup last night thanks to a 2-1 overtime loss to Red Deer. Red Deer will play the Quebec champ Rue Noranda in the tournament semifinal tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet and the Sportsnet app. And Zach Sill scored twice for the Hershey Bears, who routed the Marlies 8-2 last night to go up 3-0 in the AHL's Eastern Conference Final. And we have some breaking news from Paris as well, Dean. It's not good
news. It's not really breaking news if it's just the accordion. It's just
not good.
It's just French Open news.
Canada's Eugenie Bouchard, she's out. She lost in the second round to Switzerland's Tima Baczynski in straight sets. So her run in Paris is done after two matches. Milos won yesterday, though.
Okay.
That's good.
This hour is brought to you by Thornhill Hyundai. Thanks, George. ThornhillHyundai.com. Go see my friend at Greg Carrasco. He's on Twitter. He's also at 7200 Yonge Street in Thornhill. ThornhillHyundai.com. Alvin Williams will break down whatever that was last night in Cleveland next. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:31 morning. It's 17 degrees. Alvin Williams standing by, NBA analyst for Sportsnet, brought to you by McAlpine Lincoln in Aurora. We'll break down game 5 if you feel the need to break down a game where your team lost by 40. Big blowouts, these NBA conference final games. Huge. Western Conference, huge blowouts. One's going the other way. Some surprises in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors are still in it. You got a game 6, and you got to feel good about your chances at home. So let's wash the score and forget about the game and just know that you got to do it and you're at home and DeMar and Kyle get it done when it matters.
I know it's easy to say throw out losing by like a million points in Cleveland, but this is actually best case scenario for the Raptors going into this series. A game 6 at home.
So Alvin will break it down for us. Also, fail of the day coming up in a few minutes. We've got Jay's Yankees tickets for a June 1st game. Hold on for that. Dan Shulman, Doug Gottlieb coming up after 8 o'clock. And now here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Friday Harbor. LeBron James scored 23 to power the Cavaliers to a massive 116-78 win over the Raptors in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final last night in Cleveland. Cavs have a 3-2 series lead, but Game 6 tomorrow night down at the ACC, 8:30 tip-off. Russ Martin hit a pair of dingers. Michael Saunders also went deep as the Blue Jays beat up the Yankees in New York 8-4. First time in Blue Jays history that two Canadians have homered in the same game. The Blue Jays also saw Devin Travis for the first time this season, went 1-for-4 in his debut in the 8th spot. J-Hap on the mound today in the trying to win the series. 4 o'clock, check the time. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, and the Sportsnet app. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Sharks off to the Stanley Cup final for the first time ever. They thump St. Louis 5-2 in Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. We got Game 7 between the Penguins and Lightning, 8 o'clock on the CBC tonight. And the Marlies were crushed by the Hershey Bears at Rico last night, 8-2. They're down 0-3 in the AHL's East Final.
Thank you, sir. 7:34. Please welcome to the show Mr. Alvin Williams, NBA analyst for Sportsnet, brought to you by McAlpine Lincoln in Aurora. Hey, Al, how are you?
Good morning.
Is it, Al?
Yeah, for me it is.
It's because you weren't on the court for any of that game yesterday, exactly. I'm going to say, yeah. Where do you start after a 38-point loss in which really nobody showed up and, you got beat in every aspect of the game. You got beat on the glass. You got beat on the floor. You got beat to loose balls. You got beat at the line. I mean, it was just a flat-out thumping.
It's amazing to me the change around on both sides. When you're on your home floor, the performances. And, like, just watching the game from the naked eye and not being able to watch film and, right after, but it's just amazing because it's total effort. It's just total energy level that I guess the home team has when they're home, and they play off of that. They make stronger plays. They're more physical. And opposed to that, the away team, they don't play hard.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing when you're on the road that you have to have. You have to have that energy. You have to have that, togetherness. And not just the Raptors, but both teams, and even in the West Coast Finals, you see these same blowouts with opposing teams. So it's just mind-boggling how these games are happening.
Yeah, and it was from really from the opening tip, right? It's Raptors are up 3-2 at one point. Scola hits a three, and you thought, my God, if Scola's going to hit a three to start the game, things are looking good. But when the first quarter's over, and effectively the game at that point. With an 18-point deficit in the first quarter. At one point, 41 or 44 points in the third quarter. You kind of try and, I don't know if you even look for reasons why, do you? Or do you just say, hey, listen, this is not our night. We are not here. We are not participating in this game. Because you can't really analyze what went wrong other than the fact that Cleveland was hungrier, and you could see it. They beat Toronto to every single loose ball. You could see Cleveland made their shots. Toronto looked tentative, and they didn't execute. You watch, they didn't really execute the game plan. They executed in 3 and 4, where they got their screens at the top. They got their switches. If they didn't get them, they set them again, and they broke down the defense. And, I don't know if is that a case of players just kind of going off and doing their thing, or is that just a case of not having it that night?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. You cannot have it that night, which, at this point of the season, is not that's not really heard of. You know, you got to, you're one of the best teams in the NBA. Your strategy, you're prepared for this game, you know, from a strategy standpoint. But more so, I mean, you got to give the Cavaliers credit. You know, what they did, they took the Raptors right out of their offense. Once again, they hedged and they helped on Kyle Lowry so much. They really attacked him aggressively, coming off of screens, made him see bodies, if not two bodies at times. And, you know, DeMar really couldn't get going. And so the Cavs did a great job just being very physical, high energy, and just really taking the Raptors out of their game plan, what they love to do. So, and like, once again, it's just mind-boggling that you see the tails of two teams, and it's like night and day how they perform on each other's court. So it's just, that's the concerning part. But, you know, the Raptors, I looked at them leaving the bench, and, you know, they knew they were coming home. So that was the beautiful thing about it. They got another opportunity on Friday, and, you know, the Cavs haven't played well here in Toronto. So I know the Raptors are looking forward to getting back and putting a much better performance.
So let me ask you a question. Story surfaced that I don't know if you're aware of this. Damari Carroll and Corey Joseph were out at a place called Jack Casino, which isn't far from the Q in Cleveland where they were playing last night. They were apparently out till, I don't have a time. It was very late night, early morning. And I wanted to ask you, is this something that happens even in the playoffs? When you played, did guys make a habit of, hey, listen, we're in a different city, we're in the playoffs, whether you're in Philly or New York, you go out till 1 o'clock in the morning? Is this something that the Raptors should be concerned about?
I mean, it depends on individuals. It depends on everything else. But players, they still, even in the playoffs, champions, players still go out. You know, players still, they have a routine. I remember, you know, we had teammates when we first made it to the playoffs. When I first got here, and we had a couple of teammates saying, don't change up your routine because you're here now. Keep doing the same things you've been doing, you know. But at the same time, you got to be smart. You know, it's much more media out there. It's much more eyes watching you. So, you know, the perception is, you know, reality a lot of times. So you want to be smart about it. But it, honestly, guys, it's not really a big deal because they do it like a lot of people do. I'm sure the Cavs were out when they're here. Now, when you're going back and forth and you're not playing well, sometimes you just need that focus, or you need to refocus on certain things. But I think, honestly, it's not really a big deal because it happens all across the league and do all sports.
When you were in the playoffs, what was your routine? Like, what time were you going to bed, and what would you do at night after, you know, you eat your dinner with your team? Where would you go? What would you do?
In this situation, I would be at home. I would be, you know, I would, but, you know, I was just different. I focused a little more different because, you know, first of all, I was chasing around Allen Iverson, and I was probably scared to death trying to get to sleep and not having to worry about too long. But I just, you know, going to college and understanding perception and really what you're there to do. So I always understood that. So when the eyes are looking at you, I didn't want to have that idea. I didn't want to have the idea that I played poorly because I was out, even if that wasn't the reason. So I just had a different mindset. But once again, I know there's a lot of players, they can't function if they don't get out the hotel for a little bit. Or if, you know, so some players just can't do that.
They like a distraction? They need a distraction where they need to go and maybe they go to the casino and play some cards, or, you know, maybe they go for coffee or whatever. Yep. Maybe they go to an arcade and play some video games, whatever the situation. Yep.
And if it's a casino, a lot of guys, that's something that gets their mind off everything. Like you said, it's distraction or whatever. But like I said, I was a little different. But once again, there's a lot of players that they go that route.
Do you think it should hurt Corey Joseph and Damari Carroll's reputation in the city that they were out late playing cards?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think it's a story?
You know, I mean, it can be, yeah, because you know why? When you're going on a road and you're playing the way you're playing as a team, you want to talk about focus. You want to talk about focus. So from the media side, from the fan side, you know, you can always say, what the heck, what is he doing? But like once again, I'm sure that wasn't the first time they were out. They might have been out here in Toronto when they're playing very well. So, you know, players have their routines and players have ways to get ready for the game and get their mind off of certain things. And that's probably one of them. So I wouldn't make it a big story. You know, these guys are grown men and they're supposed to be responsible. So, you know, I wouldn't make it a big story.
Alvin, does this story get written if they win that game last night?
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. And that's what happens, you know.
Yeah.
you lose, everything gets magnified, you know. But once again, I'm sure this wasn't the first time they went out during the playoffs and all these in Miami. You think they're in the rooms in Miami?
And I'm sure I know for sure they were in their rooms in Indiana.
possibly. But one thing players, when they go into the city, they have their spots, they have their people they get with. It's like a routine. I'm telling you, it's a routine that they have, but you know, it's not like the game was at 12 o'clock the next day. It was a later game, you know, you have your routine. So once again, if it doesn't get written about if they win, you know, but then that's the part. You got to be smart when you are a player. Like Colin DeMar, if they were out, it would be a big deal because those are the leaders. Those are the guys you stand you stand on. But, you know, it's not really a big deal because it happens.
Yeah, and you know what? It's the story gets written, quite honestly, and you take nothing away from the person that wants to write the story because the job is to get people to read the story and the job is to make people feel an emotion, and that's their job. It's like a basketball player's job is to go play basketball and win games. A reporter's job is to report and get people to buy magazines or buy newspapers. So, you know, it's a question for sure, but is it a reason why they lost? You know, is it a reason why Corey Joseph only played 10 minutes? And my suggestion would be absolutely not.
Yeah, and like once again, when you're coaching, of course you would love your players in that room, focused, possibly watching film, doing everything, you know. But that's just not the reality of it. These guys have so many different outlets and so many different things they do to get prepared and how they live their lives and their lifestyle. So like I said, it's not much to do. They could have been highly in their room up till 6 o'clock in the morning just playing cards. You just never know. But now, like I said, it's out in the public, and you just got to be smart about your moves, especially at this stage of the game.
Alvin, have you ever played with anybody or heard about a superstar in the playoffs who would go really late in the night, go out and party, and then just get it done the next day on the court?
Heck yeah. I can't tell you his name. But, I mean,
did you play with him here in Toronto?
A superstar. Well, I only played with one superstar. That's Vince.
I don't know who that would be, Alvin. So just
but no, Vince wasn't. I don't recall Vince doing those things at that time. I mean, he went to a graduation, but the day of the game. So, I mean, it's different things that happened, you know, before. But players all over the league, you know, you had somebody like Michael Jordan. His words out there, Michael Jordan would be up all night.
Yeah,
you know, he's one of the best players. And had a responsibility, but he would go out there and play. So the guys, they really can perform under those circumstances. I had my best buddy Catino Mobley, who I was grew up with. He could not sit in the room the night before the game. He had to be out, and that was just him. And he would perform at a high level all the time. Play 41, 42 minutes a game, and still would have to be out and stuff like that. So there are players like that. But like once again, the media and everything, they're going to see it, and the players just have to be smart about their movements if they don't want to face that type of questioning, because it's out there. It's out there now. And it questions how serious or how focused you are. And that's just the outside questions that have come with those situations.
Yeah, and to be fair, no offense to, you know, your age or anything, but back then, and you're like me, no one had a camera phone, no one had Twitter, no one had Facebook, you had MySpace, but that by and large was for losers with really terrible bands. So anyway, hey, listen,
exactly.
Al, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Go Game 6. We'll watch for you tomorrow night.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Anytime. Appreciate it. 7:45.
Interesting.
Yeah, so story, but not life-threatening.
Be smarter about it, but it happens all the time in the NBA.
Pull a Johnny Manziel and call yourself Billy and wear a wig and glasses. Or go out like Johnny Manziel. Just do that. Fail of the day, Jays-Yankees tickets next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
7:52. Jay's Yankees tickets coming up in just a second. Time for your fail of the day. This one comes to us courtesy of Bangkok, Thailand. home of that Thai food.
Mm.
Pad Thai, curry Thai, chicken, shrimp, mango salad.
Mm.
Not a good morning for Athaporn Boonmakachoy. Yesterday, a python, as does apparently quite often, slithered out from his toilet and latched on to his parts and refused to let go. A python. Athaporn, who just regained consciousness today, spoke from his hospital bed after recounting the ordeal. Speaking from his home, said he entered for the morning routine of a shower and a trip to the loo.
Right.
Two.
Athaporn said he had just sat down for his usual business, according to the local newspaper, when the python rose from the depths of the septic system and fastened its concrete jaws around his stuffin'. As his wife, Sawtree, would tell a local newspaper, she heard him screaming for help, and he screamed, quote, "Get me a rope! Get me a rope!
A rope!"
She then entered the bathroom with said rope, found her husband fighting with the four-meter-long python.
That's huge.
Good God.
She gave him the rope as requested. Just before he passed out from blood loss, Athaporn grasped the serpent by its head and managed to use the rope to tie it around head of said serpent and tie it to the bathroom door.
Like a mouse.
Life's bad enough, I would imagine, with a name like Athaporn.
What's his wife's name again?
Sawtree.
Can you get that monogrammed on a towel?
You can get anything monogrammed on a towel.
However, Athaporn and Sawtree, is that it?
Yeah, it just needs to be a big towel or small font.
Right.
But truth be spoke, when you sit down for your morning business, you live in a country and a world where you sit down to do your, and that's a comforting time, isn't it? That just gets your day off to a wonderful start. And a 4 meter, not foot, four meter long, deadly serpent latches on to the parts of you appreciate the most.
That's like everyone's...
That's tough slugging.
That's everyone's worst nightmare. Can you think of anything worse?
Oh, yeah. Way worse. Yeah.
That guy's quick thinking, though. Get me a rope now. He knew what to do.
Yeah, he tied its head, apparently.
I would just pray for my life to end right there, then and there, I think.
Take me, serpent!
I'm not getting out of this.
Could you imagine the panic? I've had a wedgie before, and I panicked like crazy. And that's the worst. Anyway, good thinking. Smart guy. Athaporn Boonmakachoy is your fail of the day.
Like a boss.
Time to give away some tickets. Jays Yankees. Who wants them? You need them. I got them. Caller number 2, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. Caller 2 gets them now. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.